So I'm going to go ahead. Normally, on Mother's Day and Father's Day, I prepare messages for families. Some of our families aren't here, so you'll just have to tell them, hey, you need to listen to that message. But this applies not only to parents, but applies to grandparents too. I had someone this morning come to me and say, please pray for me. Our family is dysfunctional. And nobody in their right mind ever determines that their family is going to be dysfunctional. They never say, you know, I'm really going to mess up my kids royally. That's not their intent. That's not what they want to do. That's not their thought. But sometimes when we don't do some things proactive, that's exactly what happens. Did you know there were some dysfunctional families in Scripture? You look at Isaac. Look at Jacob. All throughout Scripture. Look at Judah. You look at all these, you know, people we say are just, you know, champions of faith. Many of them, you look at David. He had some major problems in his family life. But I want you to know, regardless of where you come from, regardless of the life that you inherited when you were born into this earth, regardless of the dysfunction that you may have had in your life, God can still use you. And whether you feel like you have been a castaway or a reject or whatever, that is not God's final word over you. Because He loves you, and He cares for you, and He wants you in His kingdom. When I was visiting with Deborah, that was one of the hardest things for her to accept, was that God loved her. Many times we don't really get that unless that is given to us in our home. We don't really, if our family members don't share God's love with us, and if we feel like our mom and dad doesn't love us, then oftentimes, probably all of the time, we feel like, if they can't love me, how can God love me? And so, for those of you who grew up in a stable home, count your blessings. Because I would bet you, if I asked today how many of you grew up in a dysfunctional family, 90% of the people in here would raise their hands. Okay? But God has a plan for your life, regardless. Today, I want to talk about some spiritual goals, maybe just goals, but particularly the spiritual goals that you need to have in your own life as well as for the lives of your children and for your grandchildren. How many of you have children? How many of you have grandchildren? Okay. How many of you have great-grandchildren? Wow. How many of you have great-great-grandchildren? A couple of you. You don't own it? Two. Yeah. Every time you connect with them, it's an opportunity for you to share Christ. Every time you connect with them, it's an opportunity for you to share the love of Christ with them. Every time. Every time. How many of you have ever messed up as a parent? How many of you have ever messed up as a grandparent? What about a great-grandparent? Yeah. Great-great-grandparent? Not yet. You know what? We're messed up. Okay? And that's why God tells us to get instruction from His Word and to follow His Word and then to pass it on to our children. In Proverbs 22:6, you're probably familiar with this. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Did you know that parenting is a monumental task? To do it well, we must train our children. To do it well, we must train our children. And so, grandparents, I'm speaking to you as well. Did you know it takes time to train? I was a football coach for the third and fourth grade a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago. And boy, we would spend practice about 3 days a week, about 2 hours a day, and you would tell them what to do, and the next practice they'd forget. By the end of the season, they began doing things a little bit right. I really enjoyed it, but I had to really keep my composure, because they could really get under my skin. When we train our children, we are following the instruction of the Lord. There are some parents who just wing it and hope for the best. How did that work for you? No. Some parents expect their children to train themselves. Some train their children in the same manner they were trained. And this can be a good thing or a bad thing depending upon how you were trained. Some parents feel that their parents didn't do such a good job. They feel their parents did a lousy job. So they do the exact opposite of what their parents did, which sometimes is not good either. So I've known parents who said, well, my parents disciplined me harshly. They were abusive to me, and I get it. And so therefore, I'm not going to discipline my children. Well, you can go to the extreme either way, can't you? And you can really mess up your kids if you're not careful. Some parents feel that they need to change what they've learned. And so, anyway, who you are is in large part due to the family that you grew up in. And the people your children will become is in large part due to your parenting skills. Not all of it, but a large part. So how are you trained? I talked to a few people this last week who said, I felt like I had to fight to survive. That's the only way I could survive was to fight. And as they grow older, even when things around them calm down, they still have this persona that they've got to fight to survive. And you'll carry that with you throughout life until the Lord transforms your heart. There are those who feel because they either grew up in a wealthy family or maybe because of government assistance that they feel like they're entitled to certain things. And so it's hard to address some people who feel like you owe them something. Have you ever run across somebody that feels like you owe them something? No? You need to get out of your cabin. When you're raising your children, all of these things come into play. Because you need to be aware of how you are treating your children and what's going to come from that. Children can't raise themselves. Did you know that God has given you as parents the responsibility to raise your children? So in order to do that, we need to know where you're going. You need to know where you're going. What are some important lessons that you want to implement into your kids? Well, I wish we had an air conditioner. Turn off the heat. Yes, sir. Yeah. Work ethic. Okay? So one of the things you want to implement in your son's life is a good work ethic. Okay? So what are some goals you have for them? Jacob, Dylan, Carson. Life without your parents is going to come quicker than you think. And parents, your children are going to be gone before you know it. So what are you implementing into their life that's going to help them in life? What are you doing to make that successful for them? Now, hear this and hear this well, and all of the parents in here, grandparents, can vouch for this. So, husbands and wives, when you come up with goals for your family, you need to agree on what they are. You need to sit down with your spouse and you need to talk about what the goals are for your children. Because if, Tom, your goals are different than Renee's goals, it's not going to work so well. There's a passage of Scripture in Luke 16:13 that says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other." So, who's going to be... Who has the final say? You need to come together in unity and harmony, and you need to come together so that there's not a war. Did you know that your children try to pit one against the other? Have you ever experienced that? Well, Dad said, and Mom said, and it's like, I really didn't say that. This was the conversation. So look at five areas. I want us to look at five areas real quickly this morning to think about and discuss with your spouse and also discuss with your children. Number one, physical. Number two, emotional. Three, educational. Four, relational. And five, spiritual. So if you know your goals, so you need to set up goals. Okay, so this is homework. Set up some goals. And after you set the goals, you need to find the steps to take to get you where you're going. What will you do to propel your children, your grandchildren, toward success, and how will you instill these things? The first thing you do is you tell them, listen, it's very important that you communicate what your goals are. Okay? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, 5 through 7. It says, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road and you're going to bed and when you're getting up." Okay? So what must you do? You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you must teach your children to do the same thing. Okay? So, first thing is you need to tell them. When do you tell them? Does your children get it when you just tell them one time? Do you get it when you're told one time? No. Generally, my wife will say, "I've already told you that. I don't get it the first time." And so, listen, if you come to me and you tell me something, I probably won't get it the first time. And neither will your children. And so I encourage you, tell them in the morning. Tell them at noon. Tell them when you sit down to eat. Tell them when you go to bed at night, I love you. And there are some important things God has in store for you. And I want to help you get there. Okay? And that is your responsibility as a parent, is to help your children get where God is taking them. Not where you think they ought to go, but where God is taking them. Train up a child in the way he should go. There are a lot of parents who feel like that, well, I want my child to fulfill the dreams I had as a kid. Well, the dreams that you had as a kid may not be your kid's dreams, nor may it be the dream that God has for your child or your grandchild. So tell them. And the second thing you need to do is show them. Show them. If you tell your children, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and you don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, how effective is that going to be? Someone said, it's been a statement throughout the years, do what I say and not what I do. How does that work? It doesn't work, does it? So if you want your children to behave a certain way, you're going to have to behave a certain way yourself. If you're hollering and screaming and throwing a fit, what do you think your children are going to do? They're going to holler and scream and throw a fit. So, you need to behave in a way that is a model for your children to behave. Let's look at the five things again. The first thing I want to look at is physically. How do you train them physically? One of the things I want to encourage you to do, parents, is to have fun with your children. Have fun with your children. That was not a part of my upbringing, having fun. And so when I tried to have fun, I felt guilty about it. Because fun wasn't fun. Work was fun. And so trying to have fun with my children was a difficult thing for me. And I didn't do very well with it. But I want to encourage you, you need to have fun with your children. Have fun with your grandchildren. There's an old proverb, not a proverb from in here, but a proverb that says, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. But, on the other hand, all play and no work makes Jack a slacker. Okay. So, as your children and grandchildren grow in age, there needs to be age-appropriate responsibilities. Give them tasks that they can do and expect them to do it. 2 years old, they can probably, if they destroy the toy box, they can probably put toys back in. Okay? Probably can't wash the windows or mow the grass, but they can do that. So as they grow, you give them age-appropriate responsibilities, teaching them how to labor, teaching them to take responsibility for what God has given them. The second thing I need to mention here is emotional. Emotional. We need to train them emotionally. Did you know that dads and moms often differ on what is correct emotionally? Generally speaking, moms are more tender and gentle and caring and doting and caressing, and the guys are more like warrior, builder, protector, those kind of things. Strength. And so there can oftentimes be a combat between mom and dad because of the way the children are being raised. You parents need to talk about that. You need to come to an agreement on what is healthy, what is not healthy, so that your children can be raised correctly. How many of you have more than one child? Okay. Have you come to the understanding that your children are different? And that you can't raise them the same? There are some children whose hearts are really, really, really tender. And you can correct them with a word and they start crying. There are other children, on the other hand, who you try the same tactic with them and they ignore you. And so you have to treat each child individually. Treat each child individually. One of the reasons that Isaac had such problems with his two children, and Jacob had problems with his 12 boys, was because they favored one over another. There's favoritism. If you grew up in a home where you felt like your sister or brother were favored, you probably have some issues. And so there's some, as you raise your children, as you dote over your grandchildren, you need to love them all equally. You need to do the same for one as you do for the other. So the third thing that I've mentioned here is educational. Did you know that some children are designed to have a higher education? And some children are not. Okay? Some parents who force their children to go to a higher education and they get their education and they get a, let's just say, a business degree, and then they go work for Walmart. Or they go work for a fast food chain. But why don't you encourage the gifting that God has given them. Pray about, ask the Lord about what gifting, what talents do your children have. Watch them and interact with them with the giftings and talents that they have, and then encourage that. Don't try to make them something they're not. Make them what God had created them to be. That passage of Scripture, train up a child in the way he should go. You remember that? The way he should go is the way that God has designed them. God has designed them in a certain way, a certain shape, and that shape and design is for the way, is the way that God has wanted them to go. Now, if you train them in the way that you think they should go, rather than the way God wants them to go, there's going to be some problems. So I want to encourage you, parents and grandparents, begin praying for your grandchildren. Start looking at their natural talents, their natural gifts, and as you see them, encourage that, encourage that, encourage that. You may have been a college football player, and your grandson or your son may like piano. What are you going to do with that? You encourage piano. You may be a hunter and a fisherman, and your grandchild doesn't like to squash a bug. So what are you going to do with that? You're going to encourage what God has gifted them in, and you're going to keep their heart tender and not try to make them and mold them something God did not design them to be. Okay? Now, I'm going to stop here and say this so you don't misunderstand. If God has created your boy to be a boy, and He has, then you need to encourage boyness and maleness in him. And if your child or grandchild has been created a girl by Almighty God, then don't try to mess up that plan. You encourage that because that's God's design for them. Okay? So, a next area that we need to train them in is relationally. One of the best things you can teach is how to forgive quickly. How to forgive quickly. And if parents, if you and your spouse, husband and wife, if you are always fighting with one another and there's no forgiveness, what are you teaching your child? Hold on to grudges. Don't let go. Get even. Sometimes they learn that without your help. I know when my brother and I got in a fight when I was growing up, I was always trying to get even. Trying to get even. As a child of God, we have to forgive. We don't have a choice in the matter. We have to forgive. Scripture says if you don't forgive, then God's not going to forgive you. And so if you want God to forgive you, then you have to forgive, whether you want to or not. Okay? You don't get a choice. God didn't say, if you want to forgive, forgive. It's not what He said. So, relationally, we must forgive. Forgive quickly. And so there's a few youngsters here today. I'm going to just say this. So if you want a better relationship than some of the other people that you see, I want you, men, women, boys, girls, I want you to date Christians only. Date Christians only. And wait for marriage before doing what only marriage couples should do. Okay? If you want a healthy, wholesome marriage, a healthy, wholesome family, start with that. Date Christians only and wait for marriage before doing only those things that married couples should do. And the last thing, but not the least, is spiritual. If you don't get this part, the rest of it's going to blow up. Okay? The last part is spiritual. So we read a passage of Scripture, and Jesus repeated it in Matthew 22:36-39. He says, love the Lord. Teacher, what's the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. So the first thing is to love your Lord. I want to ask you, do you love your Lord? How do you teach that to your children? I want to give you if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of John. I want to just make one of the ways that I would say would be encouraging is take the book of John. You take five or ten verses a day. Read with your children. Why do I say the book of John? John was perhaps the disciple who had the greatest relationship with Jesus Christ. The closest relationship with Jesus Christ. John called himself the beloved disciple. The one whom Jesus loved. Of all the disciples, I'm the one who Jesus loves. He had a connection with Jesus. Now, I believe Jesus loved him all the same, but John said, I can't get over the love that Jesus has for me. Another reason, I believe John had the closest relationship with Jesus. Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross dying? And he said to John, John, take care of my mom. Mom, be under John's care. I'm not going to be around to take care of you anymore. And so, John, I want you to take care of my mom. When you're reading the book of John, and as you read the stories, you're going to see Jesus through the eyes of John. And you're going to see not only, well, in the first chapter, it talks about who he is as God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But as you get into the stories, you're going to find that Jesus' interaction with people was such that you can almost taste the love that Jesus had for his individual. For instance, Zacchaeus. If you know anything about Zacchaeus, he was not a really, not a lot of people liked him. Because he was a tax collector. But Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, and he climbs up in a tree, looks out, and here comes Jesus. And as soon as Jesus gets under that tree, he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to go have dinner with you. I don't know if you know anything about the Jewish culture, but when someone is invited to eat with you, that is an indication that they want to have a relationship with you, a deep friendship with you. And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, in the midst of all this crowd who hated Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, I want to be friends with you. Zacchaeus, I love you. Zacchaeus, let's go home and eat. Can you see the love of Jesus in that story? And if Jesus loves Zacchaeus, a castaway, a reject, if God loves Zacchaeus like that, how much more will he love, or as much as Zacchaeus, how much will he love you? So if you take the book of John and just go through the stories and share the love of Christ with them, and another thing is, not only should we teach them to love the Lord, but we also need to teach them to love themselves. I know you thought I was going to say the others, but Scripture says that they need to love others as they love themselves. Did you know it's hard to love someone else if you don't have love for yourself? The Samaritan woman, again in John, she had a poor self-image. But when Jesus spoke with her, and she revealed a lot to Jesus, but Jesus revealed a lot to her. And she goes back into Samaria shouting and proclaiming, come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. How would you like for somebody to tell you everything you've ever done? But when she said it, she was able to be joyful about it, because as Jesus and this lady of ill repute speaking, there was some healing that was taking place in her life. All of the pain of her past was healed as he told her and as they communicated about those things. See how much God loves? She came to a place where she could love herself. Then she could love others properly. We live in a world where there is all sorts of caustic things put on the internet. Facebook and other things, cyberbullying, all of those things. I don't think it's healthy for a child to be on social media. Because oftentimes what they get from social media is not what God says about them. It's going to cause problems for them. So, when you have your family night and you're reading through the book of John, you need to discuss the character of Jesus. You need to discuss the character of the person Jesus is connecting with. And discuss the way Jesus desires to connect with you and your children. I want to ask you a question. Don't just say yes because that's the right thing to say. Do you know, deep down, do you really know how much Jesus loves you? You need to know that. And if you don't know that and you can't connect with that, it's going to be hard for you to connect him to your children. It's going to be hard for you to convince your children of how much they are loved if you're not convinced of that yourself. A lot of times, there are wonderful Christians who can't receive the love of Christ because they look at their past and say, look at everything I've done. Guess what? Jesus looked at your past and he sees everything you've done. And he loves you anyway. Turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you just like you are. God loves you just like you are. But he loves you too much to let you stay that way. God loves you. And you need to receive that in your heart. Not just think it, but you need to receive it. You need to feel it. You need to know it. Deep down, you need to know it. And maybe there are some here today who don't really connect with that. And perhaps it's because you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus loves you so much, he died for you to take away your sins so that you can have that connection with Jesus Christ, with the Father. So this morning, if you're here without Christ, Jesus is offering his love for you. And he says, this is Father's Day, and I want you to know my Father, and I want you to connect with him. So this morning, before you leave here, would you ask Jesus to come into your life, to guide you, to connect you with the Father so that you can enjoy the relationship that He wants with you? Father, I come before you today. Lord, I thank you for instructing us. I thank you for your word to us. And Lord, I pray that we would take these instructions to heart. I pray that we would teach them to our children, our grandchildren, and Lord, every time we have an opportunity, we could connect with them and Lord, have them connect with you. I thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you that you want us as your children. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.